Welcome back to Starting Nine, episode 120. It is our grounds crew appreciation pod, which we do many of these. We appreciate the grounds crew for listening to Starting Nine. And how we
420?
What?
It's not episode 420.
Our way of showing our appreciation of the grounds crew, we will be answering your questions. Usually I've gotten away from this. I've kind of done this a lot in the past where I, during the podcast, I'll complain about some part of Barstool Sports. I got kicked out of the studio. So now I'm in one of those like closet spaces that's right near the bathroom. And so basically what's going to happen for this entire recording is you'll have different Barstool personalities walk by the glass window and just like stare in, and I have to just do my best to act like they're not there. And that's happened 3 times already, and we've been recording for maybe 2 minutes, if
that. You know what? If you're going to be a baseball guy, Karabas, I need you to start understanding that there's a lot of voyeurship, a lot of voyeurism in your life. Okay, you are in a fishbowl. People are paying to come and watch you perform. The folks in that office, they just don't know how lucky they are. They don't know that they are lucky enough to get a free pass, free general admission seating to watch the rocket blast off.
They
don't understand or appreciate that shit. But what I need you to start understanding is how to put the fucking blinders on. All right, let's go. This is a mound meeting right now. I need you to hunker down. Lick your fucking lips, all right? Grab some rosin, grab your nutsack, and let's go. I need fucking outs, guy.
Ready for it. A lot of people getting excited about the Mike Soroka interview that we're dropping next week. We kind of hyped it up a lot on the last pod, but rightfully so. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. So that's going to be coming out on Tuesday's episode of Starting Nine. Are we worried about the Mets coming back down to earth? Is that something that we have concern about?
I believe that's why there's an actual, there is a term, I'm not sure who's coined this phrase, but there is a term used when fans choose to bow out of a season. I believe it's a canceling of a season. Is that, you cancel the season?
I think it's cancel.
Oh, is that what it is? But when that happens, when that gets applied, like it's done. So there, you no longer reserve room to be in the group that feels the coming back down to earth effect. Like your earth is gone. Your earth has been scorched. Yeah. They have left your stratosphere. So I think if you're in that camp, you had already expected this. You expected this probably before the first pitch of the season, which is why you were looking for that date on the calendar to cancel or cunchel, perhaps, to shut the season down.
But you kind of had to figure that at some point the Mets would not come crashing back down to earth. And I don't think they were there yet. I don't think this is like a crash back down to earth yet. But they're not on their magical run anymore. I think the magic is starting to wane.
I mean, but how magical was that? What are we talking? 13 out of 14, 13 out of 15 or whatever the fuck. I mean, that's sexy. That's sexy. Yeah. Like you just sit back and enjoy that kind of ride. That's why streaks in baseball, like in my opinion, when you start venturing into like 10 game territory, that's a big deal because you need to think like you've just probably won or you have won 3 series in a row. You've just swept 3 big league ball teams, you know, 4-game set, 3-game set, 3-game set, 3 3-game sets, whatever it is. You come out the other side 9-0, 10-0. You're going, holy fuck. Okay, we're rolling right now. We are, and that's a fun ride. You start to creep into 15, you know, that's a 4 series, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do. Just to kind of put it in perspective, the San Francisco Giants, up until recently, had won every single series in the second half that they had played. Imagine having won every one of those games during those series, what kind of magical run that looks like. So look at what the Giants did. Look at where it got them back into the NL wildcard conversation. Kind of the same thing for the Mets as well. So both runs kind of similar, but the Mets run magical, comparatively speaking.
Also, I would say that this is a great illustration of why it's so difficult to, when you're like three or four back, but you have eight teams to hop over. Like, some people don't understand why the odds work against you in that regard. The Mets have lost 20% off their playoff odds in 4 days.
Okay,
they've got over the 50% mark on Saturday, basically, at like 53, and they're at 32% entering today. That is a crash. I mean, that's how much each of these games matters when you have
three and four
teams to get over.
Is it a crash though, Jay Hay, or is that just a numerical representation of how difficult it is because of the logjam? I hate to call it a crash because they haven't lost fucking nine in a row.
No,
they haven't lost eight in a row. Like, they aren't a complete shade of who they just were for the past 2 weeks.
I do think we're talking about the same thing though, because like, that's how small the margin for error is at that point, where a three game losing streak really is a crash. It's not an elimination of their odds. That would be the 9-game streak you're talking about. But like, even 3 games in the wrong direction, really it takes a huge chunk out.
Yeah, for sure. No, I would agree, because the Oakland A's are kind of in the opposite scenario of that, where we don't have anybody behind us that we're worried about. And it's either you make your hay for the Rays or the Indians or the Twins, because if it ain't the Indians winning the division, it's the Minnesota Twins. Because I believe, as we look right now, are the Twins are the division leader. Okay, so the Twins are the division leader. So it's going to be the Indians or the Rays or the A's.
There's like actually, I think there's another team in the mix.
No, if I'm looking at, no, I don't think that's, no, because I think we probably, like,
another,
I'm just,
there's
I'm just,
another team there, because
I'm just feel like you cut it off at like seven, like you feel like if you're around 7 games or so in the wild card, then you're probably in the conversation.
Yeah.
Anything over that, I don't think it's a realistic possibility or potential. Nothing you have to pay attention to.
Red Sox odds to make the postseason sit at 6.6% right now.
Is that who you guys were talking about?
They're basically the Diamondbacks of the AL.
Oh, Jay said that.
I mean, one of those teams has Ketel Marte, so I guess it's not totally a good comparison, but.
By the way, Rafael Devers is an absolute superstar. Like, the fact that like Rafael Devers doesn't get talked about in the same sentence as some of the game's top players is sickening to me.
Sounds like it's happening right now.
It is happening right now, because he belongs in that conversation.
Well, I'm hearing it here.
Yeah. You ever heard of Pinky Higgins?
Actually, not until yesterday.
Yeah. It's been 81 years since the last time a player has had a hit in 8 straight plate appearances in a Red Sox uniform. It was Pinky Higgins.
You guys should get a new hitting coach. It's been a while. Jeez.
Anyways, we're going to play a little Pepper here. Some shit news for the Phils.
Can I just say that this Pepper episode is basically like a railing against Dallas Braden.
Not great.
It's basically all of his talking points wrapped up into one playing Pepper.
Yeah. So Yu Darvish is not any topic of conversation here today. Jake Arrieta is likely done for the remainder of the 2019 season. Elbow surgery on the table here. I feel like we've been headed down this path for months now. It's kind of just been like, can we push it off? Can we push it off? How long can we push it off for? Is it worth it to push it off? Do we need you to the point where we're going to have you pitch through pain, not at 100%? Are you able to do that? Are you willing to do that? What are the results look like when you attempt to do that? A lot of questions to be answered. It seems like the answer is elbow surgery for Jake Arrieta. I don't know. I guess let's look at it from this way first. I think that kind of puts a nail in the coffin of the Phillies' playoff chances. Their offense was kind of the key culprit. The pitching hasn't been nearly as good as it was last year with the starting pitching. The Robertson injury, I mean, that's basically everyone that you went out to go get to improve the 2019 team has been a non-factor for the 2019 team. Like, JT Realmuto is the one guy where you can look at and be like, all right, yeah, like that's one guy that we went out and got, and thank you for your contributions this year. Everyone else has been a disappointment, or just straight up injured, which is, you know, falls into the disappointment category. But there's been disappointments for guys that are physically capable of contributing, and they just have not. So first, I guess your reactions to Jake Arrieta, and B, maybe we can revisit our conversation of who would you rather have between Jake Arrieta?
We can absolutely revisit
and
Yu
Darvish. I would like to revisit that conversation, I think. And but I think when we go there, I think we should ask Jay the answer to that question first.
Oh sure, it'll be simple.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I compared some numbers before the start of this podcast.
Beautiful.
And it just so happens that a one Yu Darvish is better so far this season in ERA, mm-hmm. in FIP, in strikeout to walk ratio, and in wins above replacement. Huh. So it's one of those.
That's as of recently. Let's rewind. Let's rewind and answer the question that Jared asked. Mm-hmm. Who would I still want?
And well, one of them passed away, and the other one is still pitching.
Here's the answer. Sure. I would absolutely still take Jake Arrieta.
No, you wouldn't.
Absolutely. You want
to
know why?
If you were a general manager that had to answer to your owners, like if you had to like have like a meeting with your team owners to justify spending north of $100 million, you would not pick Jake Arrieta.
Here's why. Yu Darvish seems to have these invisible at times, we'll call them mental hurdles, that seem to present very, 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 very tough situations for him to navigate through. Like the mental hurdles. I want a guy who can go, yeah, hey, you know what, Skip? My elbow's working at about 50% right now. I'll go get whatever I can for you. What do you need? Look, if you're asking me to evaluate individuals based on their health, and things like that, I don't have all of the health documents in front of me to make that kind of guess. What I do have in front of me is, I guess, a track record and history, right? So one guy's been cut on and had loose bodies removed. Another guy's been cut on and had TJ. Based on what he's feeling at the point in time right now in Jake Arrieta, he feels like if this is something that does have to be surgically paid attention to, he's already been down that road, and he knows what that's going to feel like. So he's confident.
This answer is bad. So stinky.
It is. It reeks. You know what, Jay? Hey, it reeks of a man who's just trying to sound smart in his argument to remain sounding smart in a debate. Listen, that he was winning for a little bit. Yep. But when you're talking about 6-year deals, and you want to do victory laps after year one, Dallas, you just
no.
Do it.
Here's
playing GM, you're not taking a bow after 1 year, and when you're signing players to 6-year contracts, that's just not something that happens, Dallas.
The reason that Dallas could claim victory in this has been the reason that he could always claim victory in this, in that it was a shorter contract for Jake Arrieta. So sure, by default, it carried less risk and less financial weight, right? But if you're talking strictly about which pitcher you would rather have now,
yeah.
You talked about mental hurdles. Jake Arrieta's hurdle is that his stuff is garbage now. He doesn't miss any bats.
Yeah. Oh, and but I guess we're just going to complete like hold on.
What did he?
Let me ask. No, stop.
Because that.
Let me ask you why, Jay Hay. Why do you think? I mean, is there anything out in the world right now that could potentially lead to an answer to that question? Let's just say I don't know. Maybe Jake Arrieta has calcified fucking bone spurs in his pitching arm that have reduced the effectiveness of his shit. Well, other men would find themselves on a fucking training room table or potentially a surgeon's floor. Jake Arrieta is taking the ball every fifth day. So there's a difference between what is going to keep Jake Arrieta off of the mound and out of the game of baseball and what he feels he can navigate through. So I'm going to take Jake Arrieta's nutsack once again and put it on the table like he has all fucking year long.
I bet.
No, not in your mouth. That's coming later. And that's that. that so I always I that, that is for me that is just so that is a cringeworthy response. Oh well, his shit isn't any good. Oh well, you know what? I bet the fucking flailing tendons and I bet the bones jabbing into his ligaments may or may not have something to do with that. If you don't see any correlation to that, though, then by all means, let's just call Jake Arrieta dead in the water right fucking now, and let's just get somebody else to pay the money so we can open up a roster spot because he's fucking done. Are you doing that as a GM? Let me ask you that. Are you doing that as a GM?
If I have Jake Arrieta under contract, I am looking at him as a nearly unknown quantity moving forward. Yeah, because his ERA has gone from 1.77 to 3.10 to 3.53 to 3.96 to 4.64. That is a straight arrow north, and I don't think there's really much reason, given the under in the reason he was as bad as he was this year is absolutely in part because of his injury, or maybe in large part because of his injury, but that's also going to impact him moving forward.
And there's a solid chance that what you have just identified over the course of 2 to 3 seasons are also something that Jake Arrieta has been dealing with physically over the course of 2 to 3 seasons. And you come to this fork in the road multiple times in a year, because things like this can reemerge or resurface. Those loose bodies, they are what they are. They're loose. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they're going to end up. So at any point in time, irritation, inflammation can rear its ugly head. You can pitch through that, albeit not 100%. And so Jake Arrieta at times for people have probably represented a better option at 80% than maybe some of the other options they've
particularly
had
for that rotation.
So,
yeah,
exactly. So Jake Arrieta, while he might be viewed as somebody who is on the decline or rounding third, I always consider, because I was one of those individuals who spent the majority of the time on the mound not feeling anywhere close to how he probably feels. And when he feels normal, we're talking about a guy who's been, I mean, think about what the fuck, a 1.7 fucking, I mean, the guy's been, or 0.77 ERA in the second half. The guy's been fucking ridiculous when he's healthy, but that's just not the case right now. And that is what it is.
The one final thing I want to say is that I do think it's fair to, like, one of the reasons the Cubs did not want to give him a long-term contract was because of concerns over his ability to hold up over the long term.
And that is coming from a club who's had their finger on the pulse of that individual
for sure
for the majority of his career. So when things like those are all, I don't want to call them red flags, but those are all windows of insight into the mindset of the franchise. And that's what I would tell fans to take a look at, is when you see organizations balking at locking up guys like this, especially pitchers long-term who may have injury history, you have to consider that they have been having the conversations with Jake that nobody else hears, which are, hey man, elbow's really fucking barking today. I could maybe give you 90. I don't know. That's probably all I got today. Those kind of conversations happening for 2 straight months, maybe 3 years in a row, that the general public isn't aware of. That's the kind, like, the Cubs are sitting there like, fuck, we know we got to kind of, you know, handle him with kit gloves right now. And he's saying, I wish I didn't have to be treated like a little baby right now. I wish I could get out there and get after it like I can, but my fucking elbow just won't let me. So again, I know what you're saying. The numbers reflect that he's on a decline. I always like to say, just remember that the guy's got loose calcified bone elements wandering around his elbow, jabbing into his tendons and ligaments at any given time from pitch to pitch. We don't get to just discredit that and sweep that under the rug. That's a very real thing.
Jared, do you have any news about the Pittsburgh Pirates rotation?
Oh, God. This one sucks. Well, before we move on to the vaunted Pittsburgh Pirates rotation, do either of you think that we will see another season where Jake Arrieta posts a sub-4 ERA?
Not over any real quantity of innings, no.
Yeah, like if we're going to set the over or under at
150 innings.
30?
Yeah.
Oh, 150? Yeah. I would even
say 100, yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be in the NL. It makes me want to say yes, because if he's healthy, this is a guy who takes care of himself. This is a guy whose body is in tremendous shape. So if the arm is the thing that's ailing or failing him and he's able to get that right, then I'm going to say that Jake Arrieta posts a sub-4 ERA 130 plus innings if he's healthy. If he makes it back to the mound healthy, yes.
No.
Yes.
Jameson Taillon, he's our guy. He is getting Tommy John surgery, which sucks. He will miss the rest of this season. He'll miss all of next season. Just a really shitty situation. So we brought in our Pittsburgh Pirates correspondent, Dallas Braden, to give us the latest on Jameson Taillon's Tommy John surgery.
Well, you pretty much handled it. I mean, I'm not the one operating on him, so he'll be down for this year. He'll be down for next year. And
I bet you that if given the opportunity, that you would put on like the white coat and go in there for his surgery and like suck his toes and do whatever else you need to get him back.
You're the toe guy. I am not the toe guy. I am not the toe guy.
This stinks though, right? Because like this is number two. And 3.67 ERA, 3.55 FIP, and 466 career innings. So he's good when he pitches, right? We know that.
Yep.
And there's just been a lack of availability. Last year looked like his breakout season. There was a lot of hype on Taillon coming into this year. Like, this is a real ace-level pitcher, yep. And we just haven't had a chance to see it. And I think I'm not trying to be funny about this Pirates thing. It is a huge blow to their viability next year, too. Like, this is a huge, like, huge deal. He's their most important pitcher by far.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I don't want to say it's not even close because you're just kind of dismissing everybody else that throws baseballs.
No, it isn't really close because nobody else. I think we're past the point of hoping Chris Archer returns to being like a number one or a number two. That's never happening again. Trevor Williams and Joe Musgrove are not those type of pitchers. We all know that. And I think we've seen what the Pirates rotation, we've laughed about it a little bit, but we've seen what they've done without Taillon. It's the second worst rotation ERA in the NL this year behind only the team that pitches at Coors Field. And it would be the fifth worst rotation ERA in Pirates franchise history.
I didn't realize it was that historically bad.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, good. It has been abysmal.
Speaking of abysmal ERAs. Dallas. Matt Harvey.
Oh, God.
Do we have to?
Yeah, no, I think we do. I think it's very much something that we should cover.
Hey, we're not paying for it. We're not paying for it.
It's true.
What do you do, Jared? What do you do when you're at the rest stop and you're getting ready to climb back in the saddle? You give the old 18-wheeler a once-over and you kick the tires. You just double-check, Jared. That's what you do. So this is the Oakland A's pulling up into the rest stop. Doing a little once over around the rig, just kicking the tires. And if nothing falls off, if everything seems to bounce back just right, then hey, who knows? This could be an A to B type scenario where this guy helps us get from A to B. A being the regular season, B being the postseason. Should there be a need at any point in time and Matt Harvey is able to get his shit together between now and the end of August, which represents the end of the minor league season, then maybe his phone rings. If not, you will be asking Matt Harvey to take his act to Mesa, Arizona, so he can stay in throwing shape and be ready to be called upon in a moment's notice. I don't know if Matt, I mean, what do you want me to say?
I'm just saying, like, one of my favorite things as a baseball fan, a little game that I like to play throughout the course of the season is, who's going to end up on the A's? It's my favorite thing that I like to do. Every year, it's just you never know. You never know who's just going to randomly end up on the A's. And when I see Matt Harvey signing, it's a minor league deal, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's a minor league deal.
Minor league deal with the Oakland A's. I'm like, hey, maybe there's something that the old Oakland A's can squeeze out of Matt Harvey. Because I feel like going into this season, there was a little tiny bit of optimism because of how
$1 million.
Yeah,
somebody
because you're thinking, all right, like it was kind of like the Homer Bailey effect, if you will. Slide up tick in velo, maybe we can maximize. Stinks. Let's see. I don't know. He just went 7 shut yesterday, so he's doing all right. So you're thinking, who knows? Maybe he's able to, in a small, condensed body of work,
Didn't you have maybe a hit we too? Can,
maybe we can bottle this lightning. He got two knocks, Jerry.
Oh,
he got two knocks. So Matt Harvey was speaking of what?
I was going to say, speaking of Homer Bailey, that was the angle I took on this one. The highest ERAs with a minimum of 300 innings pitched since 2016. The Athletics must be working off this list. Mm-hmm. Homer Bailey, 5.91. Yovani Gallardo, 5.80. Matt Harvey, 5.65. So Gallardo, come on down.
Well, he just didn't answer the phone. He showed up at the wrong speed pitch in the wrong stadium. We didn't have him. It goes back to like you ever go to, you ever have that friend who's like, you invite him to dinner. You're like, hey, you want to go eat? And they're like, oh yeah, where are you going? Oh no, I don't know if that's, well, we got somebody else going and they're going to be paid. Oh yeah, I'm all in. I'm all like, initially they're like, no, I don't like the lighting. The food's always cold. You got to wait forever. The fucking bathroom smells. I don't like the backs of the chairs. Well, my buddy's paying. Oh yeah. And I love the gnocchi. It's fucking phenomenal. Have you had the house sauce? It's tremendous. It's like, you're completely, well, that's who the A's are right now. Like, I'm not, are you fucking kidding me? The backs of the chairs are stiff. It's a dimly lit, soggy room. The Angels are paying for it. I am in. Can I see a dessert menu? Can I see a dessert menu? Fuck yeah. Come on. That's all we need. And I'm not calling Matt Harvey an asshole when I say this. Any asshole out there that wants to come and log innings, we will take you. If you can get it done at any point in time, get it done. That's what the rotation looked like last year, was a bunch of people that guys were just like, how are you going to get outs here? Who's Edwin Jackson? Who's Trevor Cahill? You guys are actually bringing Brett Anderson back? You think Mike Fiers is going to get outs for you? Yep. And Ejax is throwing in Detroit. So the A's have been able to deal with guys, or have been able to go to battle with guys who seemingly would not even be able to be bathroom attendants, apparently, in other organizations.
I'm fucking pumped for the Jamie Moyer return. Oh, to Oakland.
Baby. I would come myself.
That would be awesome. If
I follow Jamie Moyer around our fantasy camp, like the A's Mariners fantasy camp last offseason. I followed him around everywhere and was asking him questions like I was going to be able to take that information and like go pitch and be successful with it. Like I felt like an asshole, but it was an awesome time for me.
That'd be a great podcast, by the way, Jamie Moyer.
Dude, we seriously,
like, we should reach out
to baseball.
Dude, we sat. It was fucking awesome because we sat, didn't sit. We stood in the middle of the complex while I was supposed to be coaching my team. He was supposed to be coaching his team. And like, you know, people have paid money to come and have us coach them. And instead, Jamie Moyer and I are standing in the middle of the complex, like out in front of God and everybody. People are around because they want his autograph and shit. And we spent probably 35 minutes talking about the pressure of, or the, like, using your backside and not using your backside, when to vacate the backside, and how to maintain arm speed, finger pressure, fingertip manipulation on the baseball, which way the laces can move for you, when to throw your left on left changeup, when to throw the left changeup in. Like, I mean, it was just, it was a clinic. It was an absolute clinic. I was lost. So I honestly don't know that would be great pod material, but I had a fucking blast.
From August 14th through September 2nd of this year, cops across the United States will be increasing enforcement on impaired drivers. There are three main messages, three main talking points that we're looking to get across here. That's impaired driving, drunk riding, and drunk impaired driving. Okay. Drive sober or get pulled over. Campaign hashtag to be aware of. Hashtag drive sober. Ride sober or get pulled over. That's drunk riding on a motorcycle. That counts too. Campaign hashtag ride sober. Be on the lookout for that. If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. Hashtag impaired driving. You knew the risks of driving drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. You could get arrested, incur huge legal expenses, and possibly even lose your job. You knew the consequences of driving drunk, and you were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. You can't trust yourself when you've been drinking. If you drink, don't ride. Ride sober or get pulled over. A DUI covers more than just alcohol. Drugs that make you feel different will make you drive different, and you could get a DUI. Always remember, if you feel different, you drive different. Never drive high. Drive high. Get a DUI. As a reminder, this is from August 14th through September 2nd. Obviously, these rules apply all the time, but be on the lookout for increased awareness and enforcement on impaired drivers from August 14th through September 2nd. That's courtesy of NHTSA. Are you guys ready for Twitter questions?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Who would you rather have? We're going to start. This guy was already mentioned on the podcast. Who would you rather have for the rest of their career? Rafael Devers, Gleyber Torres.
Jared. I mean, I'm taking Rafael Devers. I am. I know that Jay Hay in the past has said that Gleyber Torres is on a one-way path to the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can make the same case about Rafael Devers. I mean, these are two very good players. I'm going to stick with what I know. I think I know that Gleyber Torres, I don't know if you saw the statistics. Gleyber Torres, he's hit half of his home runs against the Baltimore Orioles. Against everyone else, his OPS is like in the mid-700s. He's hitting like 260. I mean, those games count. Those games count against the Orioles. Fair.
What's Devers doing against those teams?
I mean, he just hits everybody.
No, I know, but what's he doing against that team?
The Orioles? Nothing outstanding like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I think I'm taking Devers.
Who are you taking, Dallas?
I think I'm taking Torres just for potential to play elsewhere at some point later in his career. I mean, where does Devers profile defensively? Like, I mean, it's going to
be... He's been excellent. Defensively at third base.
I just think I'm thinking Torres stronger up the middle.
I don't think there is a wrong answer here. Rafael Devers is in his age 22 season. He's accumulated just over 1,200 plate appearances, and he has an 842 OPS. Gleyber Torres is in his age 22 season. He's accumulated 944 plate appearances and has an 844 OPS. So there's a lot to like about both these guys. I'm going to take Torres, but the one thing I will say is that the year Rafael Devers is currently putting up would be the best season that either of them have put up so far in their careers.
And yeah. nobody hits the ball harder right now.
Yeah, and I also think while it might have taken him a second, you know, last year was disappointing, I realize, but Rafael Devers had every bit the hype that Gleyber Torres did as a prospect. And so... like the fact that he didn't start hitting the second he came up. I mean, he's clearly adjusted. With the recent signing of Nathan Peterson, Rocket, pay attention. With the recent signing of Nathan Peterson by the A's, the gentleman who hit 96 on their fan speed contest, would you, Rocket, turn your back on the Red Sox and everything you've built if the exact same thing happened to you tomorrow, but the only team to offer you a contract was the Yankees?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I would. I mean,
money hungry, bitch. Ain't no faith.
It's not even about the money. It's about the chance to fucking be a professional baseball player. Of course I would do that. I wouldn't. I'd probably put a clause in my contract that I don't have to shave my beard. I wouldn't shave my beard for the Yankees.
I totally see him meeting you halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I'd just demand a trade. Be like, yeah, I'll sign with you, but I'm keeping the beard. And then whenever
a sign and trade, the first ever executed sign and trade at a speed pitch.
Yeah, like what are they gonna do if they sign me and I just absolutely refuse to shave my beard? They're not gonna physically hold me down and shave it. They'll just be like, all right, guy, like whatever. If it means
they
much.
Won't let you in the building. Like you just won't be allowed to tell you. Okay, well, today's your last day. Don't come back tomorrow.
That's fine. Be like, you're missing out. You're lost.
Here's a hypothetical for Dallas now. Would you give up your perfect game for a World Series ring? No other changes to your career, same length, same numbers. If no, what would you have to have happen, or what would you change in your career to forfeit said perfect game?
Give it away yesterday.
You would give the perfect game for a World Series ring?
Absolutely.
There's wow.
There's one reason you strap this fucking thing on. That's to be the best at the end of the day. If that isn't your ultimate goal, then what the fuck are you doing here? If you're here for the personal accolades, you're here for the wrong fucking reason. The perfect game, the four homers in a game, whatever, all that shit is, those are personal achievements that you should be trying to do or execute every single. If you're a pitcher and you're not trying to throw a fucking perfect game every time you take the ball, what the fuck are you doing? And if you're a hitter, not trying to have the best offensive day every time you step in the box, then what the fuck are you doing?
I respect the shit out of that answer. I didn't think it would be so definitive. I thought you would hem and haw a little bit.
No, not even close.
All right. Good for you. Continuing on. If you could pick one batter to face one hitter. This guy miswrote the question. If you could pick one pitcher to face one hitter in their prime, any era, which matchup would you like to see?
I feel like maybe in their prime.
I would like to see Randy Johnson versus Babe Ruth. He would fucking undress that fraud. That absolute clown shoe.
That doesn't even make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
That would be an embarrassing matchup. He would be like, who is this wizard? What dimension did he come from? I don't understand what I'm seeing here. He might even quit.
Much like any human being from the 1920s would look at any human being in the 2000s and go, what the fuck is that? Oh, my God. You mean to tell me there's human beings? Like, what do you think they would think of a guy like Aaron Donald? Do you know who that is, Jared Kravis? He plays football. He plays football for the Rams. They live in L.A., and he plays on the front. So the men who put their hand in the dirt, those are called linemen. He's one of those guys. He plays right in the very front. He is 300 fucking pounds. He's 6'5", and he is faster than you. He's faster than me. He's faster than anybody who's 6 foot, 220 pounds, 230 pounds back in 1920, whatever. They would look at any normal fucking human being today and go, that's what we turn into later in life? Holy shit. So we can't logically at any point in time compare eras like that as much as we often try to do. I think we've seen the give me the fucking unit and give me Barry. Left on left, power, let's fucking eat. Or maybe you give me a Satchel Paige and Ted Williams. Because the old Satchel Paige stories are pretty fucking awesome to hear. Like, anytime you got a guy turning around telling his entire defense to just take it in, I'll go ahead and handle this. That's
Pedro versus Josh Gibson.
Oh, that'd be tasty. See, but you're telling me. Oh, well, see, you're telling me that Josh Gibson would have no shot. So why would you want to
say that? I didn't fucking.
You
say
just
that.
Said it. You just said it.
I said
you
Babe Ruth. What are you talking about?
Right. So what makes Josh Gibson different than Babe Ruth?
He doesn't suck.
You're a fucking moron.
I'm going with Scherzer, Tony Gwynn.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, does Tony Gwynn? Tony Gwynn wins that battle.
Probably, but I'd still like to see it. See how he handles that velo, baby.
He fucking handled Smoltz's velo just fine.
Yeah. Small tank ass shit, I'm sure. Favorite player that will not get into the Hall of Fame or most likely will not. This person's example, Mark Teixeira, is one of his favorite players, but probably won't get into the Hall of Fame. My answer is Kenny Lofton, who's already fallen off the ballot and deserves far more of a look than he got. We've talked about that on this podcast, but it will always be Kenny Lofton.
My answer is Will Clark. Like, not, you know, not a conversation piece, but he's fucking awesome.
Mine is probably Scott Rolen.
Oh, okay. I do wonder whether he gets in or not. I think that's going to be interesting.
I don't think so, but he should.
Keeping how much money would it take for you guys to never be able to watch or listen to baseball again?
What would I do?
Yeah.
No, you could write me a check right now for $500 billion. And I would, I mean, I'd probably take it, but then I would regret it later. I'd be like, well, what's the point of, like, that's literally my identity. That's my existence. And I guess being a 500 billionaire would become my new identity. But what would I do with that money? Like, what would I do with my time? I would, if I built like a big ass mansion, I would want to make like a command center to watch baseball games. That's like, what would I do? I would want to go. I would want to travel wherever the Red Sox traveled. I'd travel wherever, like if I wanted to, I would become Marlins man. I'd just go to whatever fucking baseball game I wanted to on my private jet. But if I can't watch or listen to baseball, then what's really the point?
Your first move when you get breaded up is to buy a baseball team.
Yeah.
That's the move you make. So no, like you can't, no, I'm good. I'm all good.
Yeah.
I think I would sell out for like 5 to 10 milli.
But you like other sports.
I do. And if I could secure
you could just go get balls deep in basketball. This is what
if
you
I
would
could
do.
If I could secure my family's future, I would probably sacrifice baseball. But I respect that.
Fuck my family. Yeah. I love baseball.
And I could take care of Jared's family, so they'll be fine.
That's true. All right. Well, if I get that offer, I'm going to come to you to see if you can take care of my family before I sell out.
I'm already taking care of a family. I can't.
Oh, okay. This is a guy that we haven't talked enough about, so I'm glad this question was sent in. Clayton Kershaw has a 2.77 ERA that's lower than names like Verlander, Cole, and Stroman, but he isn't being talked about as one of the best pitchers in the game anymore. Do you feel he's reached the point where he's underappreciated?
Yes.
I feel that Clayton Kershaw has been underappreciated for a while.
No, that's not true. No.
He's the Trout effect. He's the Trout effect on the mound.
But
there's
injuries,
such a level
it's not
of
like
consistency.
He's been dominating and no one noticed. Like he's been hurt off and on for 3 or 4 seasons now, and now he's healthy and now he's back to being like a very good version of himself, not the best version of himself, but I think he's being underappreciated, not because I think it's a combination of, you know, he hasn't had a completely healthy, full dominant season in a while, and now you mix in the fact that he, if the playoffs started today, where are you putting him? Number 2, number 3? I mean, he's not like Ryu is getting the fucking ball in game 1, and you can make a case for Buehler, even though Kershaw at this point maybe having a slightly better season than Buehler, but I don't know. I think that that's a big part of it is the rotation that he's in, the quality of the arms that he's being surrounded by, plus just the lack of consistency over recent years.
Well, it's for me, and the injury stuff are, that's why I say it's underappreciated, because guys get hurt and often guys come back and aren't the same. Are not even close to being the same. And when you think about who we're talking about here, if you're going to be injured and you're coming back and performing even remotely close to who you have been, and you are an elite level performer, let me just remind you that Clayton Kershaw, aside from his rookie year, boys, has never put up an ERA that starts with a 3.
It's insane. It's insane.
But just remember that. So that's the kind of guy that you are either, you know, taking for granted or that's going underappreciated. And when you put it in perspective like that, like, hold on, he's never like a 3.2 ERA, a really good year. No, that's a down year for Clayton Kershaw. That wasn't a good year by Clayton Kershaw's standards. So factoring in the injuries, his ability to bounce back, put those behind him and still perform at the elite level he is. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. We'll be talking about Clayton Kershaw a little later in the podcast, and for good reason.
Then I'm going to defer if he's coming up later. I'm not going to drop any little stat nugs on what he's been up to. Ahmed Rosario, little NL East shortstop question. Ahmed Rosario or Dansby Swanson for the next 5 to 10 years, who are you taking?
I mean, Rosario has been serviceable. And I feel like we haven't seen the best of Swanson yet. And I feel like there's maybe been a plateau with Rosario where maybe there's still potential for Swanson to be like, hey, I didn't think he was this type of player. So I'm going to take Dansby just based on potential.
And I think I'm probably in that same boat. I had I was really excited about Dansby Swanson, and I think I can blame Dave Stewart for that. Talking to him about Dansby, he was really excited about him when he was the GM there in Arizona. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Rosario. I don't feel super confident about it, but he's got basically two extra years on Dansby Swanson. And since I'm not super enthusiastic about either one's start to their career, I'm going to take the guy with time on his side. I don't know if that's the right answer, but we'll go with Rosario. You're allowed to recruit one movie baseball player to your team. Who do you pick?
Oh, easy. Fucking Steve Nebraska. Done and done. Jared doesn't know who that is. I just threw a no-hitter against you, Jared, and I'm winning because I'm not out because he dropped dick. So, yeah, Steve Nebraska for the win. Jay Hay's looking him up right now because Jay Hay doesn't know who he is either. Look him up.
I was actually looking up my answer because the guy's name was escaping me.
Yeah, well, Steve Nebraska is the only fucking answer you need.
Well, I got another one for you. How about motherfucking Clue Haywood, baby, from Major League. Remember that Yankees first baseman?
Yeah.
That's like their enemy in the movie. I'm taking Big Daddy Clue.
Let's see. I will be taking
Jimmy Fallon from Fever Pitch.
No, I'm taking correct
taking
movie.
David Spade from Benchwarmers.
I'm taking David Ortiz from Fever Pitch.
That's not a fictional baseball player.
They said fictional? I thought they said a baseball player from a movie.
Are you fucking serious, guy? Clean it up.
What?
I mean, for you to not understand that question.
It's a loophole answer. Did you say the word fictional?
No, he found a loophole, that little rat.
Yeah. He said take a fucking baseball player from a baseball movie. David Ortiz was in a baseball movie.
David Ortiz can't even hold Steve Nebraska's jock in a fucking suitcase, which is fine.
And that was another session of, one more. If the Yankees, by some fucking miracle, win the World Series, but would it be the worst starting pitching staff to do so?
I think the Royals starters were worse in 15, right?
Yes, I believe they were. I think the answer is definitely no. I didn't do a comprehensive look, but
the Royals had guys like who was it that it was it Hochaver that like factored into probably some of those abysmal starting numbers, but was actually good out of the bullpen.
Granted, it's a different era, but just by comparison's sake, this team's starting rotation has a lower ERA than the 1996 Yankees starting rotation. So I don't think this is some historical outlier by the Yankees. It just so happens that it's not. Yeah. I mean, listen, if you look at the last time the league leader in rotation, bullpen, and offense went on to win the World Series, the most recent example of those is offense winning the World Series in terms of the number one team in a given year. All right. That was Twitter questions.
Wow. We did it. If you've got health concerns, you owe it to yourself to see what CBD can do for you. CBD may offer many of the health benefits of marijuana, but without the high. It's 100% legal and requires no prescription when you shop at cbdistillery.com. Listen to what their customers say. 5 stars. I highly recommend CBD to everyone. It's done a complete turnaround for me. Another customer wrote, excellent product, makes a big difference in my health. In this note, I will never do without CBD. It worked 100% for me. If you haven't tried CBD for whatever health concerns you have, you really should. Where you get CBD products is crucial. With independent lab tests and nearly 250,000 customers, cbdistillery.com are the folks that I trust. If you've got health concerns, you owe it to yourself to see what CBD can do for you. Go to cbdistillery.com and enter Starting 9 for 20% off. Again, Starting 9 is your promo code for 20% off at cbdistillery.com. cbdistillery.com. It's time to show some love. Got to show some love. I was inspired the day after Jay Hay's wedding, actually. Day after Jay Hay's wedding. I went to the Mets game, and I'm sitting there with Kevin Clancy. And I asked him, I said, who's your favorite player on the Mets right now? Expecting him to pick his boy, Pete Alonso. It was not Pete Alonso. It was J.D. Davis. Now, J.D. Davis is a guy that is, you look up at the big board, and you're pretty surprised at some of the numbers that you see up there. I personally did not expect him to be having as good of a season as he is currently having. Hitting north of 300, floating around a 900 OPS. But it wasn't always that way. On June 2nd, J.D. Davis was hitting 250 with a 740 OPS. Very pedestrian, serviceable numbers, nothing to really write home about. But in the 54 games since then, J.D. Davis is hitting 367. He's slugging 612. He's getting on base at a 428 clip. That's a 1040 OPS, 8 homers, 10 doubles, and 23 runs driven in. J.D. Davis, I'm showing some love to you this week, my friend. Dallas, who are you showing some love to?
Well, we mentioned the Southpaw earlier. Podcast, without further ado, Clayton Kershaw. Over his last seven starts, guys,
yep.
Team is 6-1. He's rocking a 1.4 ERA over 45 innings pitched. He's logged 59 punch outs, only 13 free passes in that time. Opponents hitting 167 against the lefty. And should things continue to trend in the direction they are for Clayton Kershaw, what he will achieve will be something that hasn't been achieved since Zach Greinke was a Los Angeles Dodger.
I got some peeps.
Ready for it, Jay Hay.
Jorge Soler.
Oh, he's closing Soler in on the power. Royals single-season home run record there.
He is. The record is 38 by Moose in 2017. Soler has 35. And here's the mind-blowing thing. He would be the first player in Royals franchise history to have a 35-homer, 900 OPS season. How is that possible?
I don't know.
First player ever. 35 homers, 900-plus OPS. Jorge Soler finally tapping into some of that potential that made him such a hot Cubs name back in the day. And my other guy, Ketel Marte. We all know Ketel Marte is having a great season. What you may not know is that according to Fangraphs, he's now up to number 5 among position players in all of baseball in wins above replacement. Mm-hmm. And he's behind. It's just Yelich, Trout, Bellinger, and Xander Bogaerts. Those are the only people he's behind in the entire league. And a lot of people were wondering, would he be able to keep up the pace that he kept up in the first half? He's actually been better in the second half. He has a .444 on base percentage and a .350 batting average in the second half. Crazy.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I got to tell you about DoorDash, though. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to a meal that you deserve. And have your favorite restaurant come to you with DoorDash. Your sweatpants are on for the day, but you're sick of microwave leftovers and frozen pizza. Enter DoorDash, restaurant quality food with living room dress code. Your parents don't pack your lunches anymore, but you still need to eat. Have your favorite restaurants brought to you with DoorDash, brown paper bag not included. Crushing it at work, laser focused on beating that boss level. That doesn't mean you shouldn't eat. DoorDash can help you get your next meal from your favorite restaurants in just minutes. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Here's the deal. Because I know you all like to eat. Everybody does it. Right now, the Grounds Crew, our listeners, get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code STARTING9. That is $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app at the App Store and enter the promo code STARTING9. That is promo code STARTING9, $5 off your first order from DoorDash. I'm excited for next week.
For sure.
Soroka, the interview from the All-Star game, the one that made his dad famous, more so than Mike himself. It's a good one. It's worth waiting for, and it's coming to you next week, so be on the lookout for that.
Until Tuesday.
All right. We'll see you next week.